I just ask, Lord, for that breaking of bread. Lord, for spirit and life. Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, that you would change our lives. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we were worshiping the Lord this morning, there were a few scriptures that were coming to mind. One out of Proverbs 8. Again, very familiar scriptures. Proverbs chapter 8, 17. It's the verse that I've based my life on. It's right at the center of my walk and my relationship with the Lord, that belief that he loves those that love him. It says, I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Then verse 33, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Also, Isaiah 6, Proverbs is speaking of the blessing on those who watch and wait at his gates, who are watching at the post of his door. In Isaiah 6, there's worship going on. In verse 3, one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, this is Isaiah speaking here, a powerful prophet, and he says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, Here am I, send me. And we know that in that opening of the gates of the post of the door and in that presencing of God, that there was a coal that touched his lips. There was a cleansing. It says in verse 7, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then from that touch of God, that further call, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me. And if you follow through the chapter, it was a hard word that he was given to deliver and to stand in. It wasn't one of those prophecies that everybody is excited to hear. But a divine encounter with the living God, a further washing, a further cleansing, a further purging, and a present word that speaks right into the very heart of what was happening at that moment. I like to listen to the scripture on CD, and I often at night, I put on Alexander Scorby. He's read me to sleep for quite a few years now. I don't know if any of you had a bedtime story when you were growing up. Well, I still get my reading every night, and Alexander just does a fine job. But I've been listening to Hebrews. And what is on my heart this morning is two things. I believe it's going to come together, but the Holy Ghost and fire. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost and fire these last few meetings, but also prayer. But as I've been listening, sometimes when I put on a CD, I might listen to that CD for months before I put on another CD. So I'm listening to the same scriptures over and over and over. Well, I find that's the way they kind of sink into you, and you're not trying to memorize scripture, but all of a sudden you're quoting the scripture you didn't even know you knew. Well, you've been praying into it, you've been listening to it, you've been playing it over and over. But in Hebrews chapter 12, this particular CD, it begins in Hebrews, but then it goes right through the books that follow, right through Jude. But it's Hebrews that has been standing out to me. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." As I have been considering these scriptures, there's a prayer that I've been praying. I've just been saying, Lord, I'm asking for your fire, for that baptism of your Holy Spirit in fire. In one of our meetings, I'm not going to do it today, but I walked through the history of visitation and showed a progression in the move of God through the ages, where different truths were released that brought us to the point where we are now as a body of Christ. The more recent visitations having to do with the releasing of the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and then the call to intimacy, that call to spend time in the Lord's presence. But there is yet a further releasing of anointing. If we look at restorations that have taken place in the body of Christ, there's yet an authority to be restored to the body of Christ. There's still a further working of the church as we're brought up into the kingdom age. And as I have been considering these things, and sometime I'll go back and talk about all of what I just said more slowly, but just trying to catch those basic thoughts in a capsule for today, there's come the understanding that there's a further releasing of anointing, and that anointing is going to come in the fire of his presence. And in that fire of his presence, sin can't be. There's been things that have been able to remain in the body of Christ There's been things that we have been unaware of in our own lives. I mean, couldn't repent if we wanted to because we didn't know we needed to. There's other areas where we're very much aware that God is dealing with us and God is working with us. But in my own life, I have been praying for that fire, for the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God. It's a prayer that I have been praying for months now. And as I've been listening to this Hebrews chapter 12, where it's talking about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and running with patience the race that is before us. If you're praying for the fire of God, I've been praying for the fire of God for some months. And then all of a sudden, I'm saying, God, what is going on here? Here I am at a point where I've never wanted to seek you more. Here I am at a point where I've never felt more focused and more committed and more sure of what you're doing. But what are these little foxes that are trying to spoil the vine? Where is this coming from? What is going on? What's happening here? And then I start to remember, oh, I was praying for the fire of God. Well, I thought that if I was praying for the fire of God, that in one of our services, that the presence of God would become so powerful that we would just all be on the floor and it would be like electricity. I didn't know the fire of God was going to be like this. And then I remembered the little mother-in-law story that Hattie Hammond used to tell about a lady who was just praying and praying and praying for the love of God. And the love of God, she wanted the love of God, and she thought this gooey glob of love was going to drop down on her. Now, I'm a mother-in-law, so I want to be careful what I say here. But she had a mother-in-law who was very difficult. And this lady is praying for love, and all of a sudden her mother-in-law shows up on her front porch and has come to live with her. And her particular mother-in-law was very domineering, very controlling, had a lot of opinions and a lot of suggestions, not really suggestions, but commands. And it seemed like this lady couldn't do anything right. Nothing. Her housekeeping wasn't right. Her cooking wasn't right. She wasn't taking care of her husband right. Just nothing she was doing was good enough or was right. And the lady began to cry to her husband and say, "Can't you hear what your mother is saying to me? Do you see the way she's treating me?" And her husband would say, "It's my mother." "It's my mother. Can't you just be kind to my mother? She's come here to stay with us." So she was getting no sympathy. You know, sometimes it's good if we can't find any sympathy. Sometimes it's good if we can't find a little comfort. Sometimes it's good if we have to just cry out to God. So the lady is crying out and crying out and crying out, and the Lord is telling her that she needs to love her mother-in-law. And she's saying, "But I don't love her. But I know I'm supposed to love her." And the Lord would deal with her to love her mother-in-law. And she'd say, "But I don't. But Lord, I want to. Help me to love my mother-in-law." And actually, this lady got sick, and she ended up having to take care of her. nurturing her back to health, just feeding her and bathing her and taking care of her. And the Lord would be telling her to love her mother-in-law, and she would be saying, "But I don't, I can't, but I want to." And one day when she was taking care of her mother-in-law, love came out of her heart for her mother-in-law. She started to tell her mother-in-law how much she loved her, and it was love coming right from her heart. And the way Hattie Hammond shares the testimony, and this is a true story, is as this love just poured out of her, the mother-in-law got better, and she packed up her bags, and she said, "Well, it's time for me to go." And she went to minister to somebody else. The fire of God. The fire of God. As we're praying for the fire of God, the Lord may not answer in ways that we expect. And we may not recognize at first the opportunity that we have. You know, trouble becomes but a servant when I learn how to respond to it rightly. And as things come my way, challenges, difficulties, as I begin to realize the opportunity for choice, and as I begin to not so much look for sympathy, because we all like a little comfort, but as I begin to cry out to God, and as I begin to ask God to help me to respond rightly to this situation, Lord, help me to respond rightly to this circumstance, this pressure, whatever it might be, there comes an opportunity for the fire of God to burn in me, to burn away everything that is not God, to burn away everything that does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that his nature, see, we are to grow up into him in all things, that his nature might be formed in me, till I am brought to the place where it's just not my choice to respond as Jesus would respond if he was in that circumstance, but it becomes my very nature to do so. He brings me beyond choice to transformation, where this is who I am, this is how I think, this is how I feel, this is what I'm saying, and this is what I'm doing. The fire of God, the burning of God within our hearts and within our lives. The verse that I read in Proverbs, it says, there's a blessing on those who watch and wait at the post of his door. As we're worshiping the Lord, as we're watching for him, as we're waiting for him, as we're communing with him, as we're fellowshipping with him, there's a blessing that rests upon us. And as those posts begin to move, what Isaiah is speaking of is a further revelation. Now he was not a sinner as we would think of a sinner. He was a prophet. This is a prophet. But in that further revelation of God, there came a cry. Why? Because there was a deeper working of God, a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that deeper revelation and working of the Lord Jesus Christ, there came a cry which opened him up to what? To be able to further receive from the Lord. And there was a further word. There was a present word. There was that which was happening at that moment of time in Israel, which he was being called to speak into. And I believe that where the Lord is calling us as a corporate body today, you know, there's a lot of methodology, you know, things that formulas, things that we try to do and perform. But the Lord is calling us into that deeper place of intimacy, a deeper place of love, of communion, of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That out of that place of fellowship with him, there might come that deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there might come that present working of his word today through his people. I believe that the heart of prayer, the focus of prayer, is fellowship with the Lord. You know, Abraham was just fellowshipping with the Lord. He's just ministering to the Lord. Genesis 18, the Lord came in a theophany. But when the Lord came, Abraham was just ministering to him. Just loving him and pouring out his love on him. And what did the Lord say? Shouldn't I share my heart with Abraham? Shouldn't I tell him that which I'm about to do? See, in that place of fellowship, of communion, there's a sharing of hearts. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to share his heart with us. He wants to share those things that he's desiring to do and desiring to say, and he's calling us to be a part of that. Abraham, knowing the righteousness of God, began to make intercession. God knew he was going to do that. That's why he let him in on his plan. Because he wanted Abraham to have an active part in not only judgment, but mercy being shown. As Lot was brought out. Where the intervention of God actually came in that city. The word of God tells us that when Lot would have lingered, the angel took him by the hand. That's the intervention of God. Why? Because the Lord couldn't do anything until Lot was brought out. And then righteousness came down. All of that happened from a simple point of fellowship. Abraham was just ministering to the Lord. The Lord came. He said, oh, let me go get a calf. Let me come rest yourself. Let me feed you. Let me minister to you. Let me refresh you. The Lord is calling us into a place of fellowship, a place of communion. And as we come together just to minister to him, there's a blessing that rests upon us, as well as that working of the Lord as those posts begin to move. I believe that when I pray out of a desire to love the Lord, to know the Lord. I just want to love him. I just want to know him. And Christy, I'm thinking of some of your song services and the songs you sing and just that beautiful expression of love to the Lord, how the Lord delights in that. And in that presencing of the Lord, how the Lord works and moves. It's beautiful. I believe as we're praying that we are also acknowledging our dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do anything. Even if I could, I probably wouldn't do the right thing. Lord, I'm coming to you. How we need your intervention. Isn't this what we were interceding for? Now I'm looking for the worship team. They're out here. Isn't that what we were interceding for in our lives, in our nation, in Israel? The intervention of God. We were coming in utter helplessness, utter dependency, just loving Jesus, communing with him, fellowshipping with him, but then allowing him to stir our spirits, to speak and to move according to his will and his desire. Dependency. We're so dependent on the Lord. I believe that the key to true authority, we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do or say anything other than what his heavenly Father showed him. He never just became strong. You know, we have a lot of strong people today. He was utterly dependent on his heavenly Father. And he moved always in submission to his heavenly Father and in obedience to his word. True authority, dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into that place of fellowship, of communion, of oneness with him, where he begins to find expression through us. As the blood deals with sin, as I've been washed in the blood, because I've been justified through the blood, I've been washed, I've been cleansed, the enemy can't condemn me. I'm cleansed, I'm washed, I'm living in repentance and in forgiveness. Through the cross deals with nature. Blood deals with sin, cross deals with nature. And as I learn to embrace the cross, and I heard somebody praying about our self-life being dealt with. But as we've been washed with the blood, as we're embracing the cross, as we're able to say, not my will, but your will. See, the scripture says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, follow after me. There's the way I want to react, or there's the way God wants me to respond. So I take up my cross, I'm following after him. As I come into right relationship and I learn to live and abide and remain in right relationship with the blood, repentance, forgiveness, the grace, the mercy of God, but not presuming on that. As I'm learning to live in right relationship with the cross, where I'm allowing my very nature to be dealt with, my ways, his ways, my thoughts, his thoughts, my timing, his timing, whatever it might be. But as I come into right relationship and I learn to live in right relationship with the blood and with the cross, well, then I am brought up into the authority of his name. When I speak with authority, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that authority is in his name. That authority can be exercised through me because of the blood and the cross that I am in right relationship with. Because of the blood and the cross that is working in my life. And through the union, the communion, the fellowship, the oneness through the blood and the cross, becoming one with him, because everything that separates me from him is being dealt with. It's being washed. It's being cleansed. Well, then I'm brought up into the authority of his name. And the Lord will always honor his name. The Lord will stand by his name. The Lord will stand by his word. But the Lord is bringing an overcoming people up into a place of authority where it's not just a using of his name, but becoming one with him as that authority that is in his name is exercised. I can say, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Pizarro. Why? Because there's a name that Marta has taken upon herself, and she now carries the name of her husband. And I can tell you something, if Marta tells me something, it's the same thing as if Nandy told it to me. Why? Because they've become one. And that name, there's an authority that comes because that name has become Marta's name. You know, our heavenly bridegroom is preparing a bride that's taken on his name, taken on his nature, taken on his character, who can speak his word, where there's come such a submission, such a brokenness, such an utter helplessness. No longer able to just speak something out of their own flesh or reaction, but now being governed, the government of God resident within. See, in the Song of Solomon, it speaks of the horses that were bringing in Pharaoh's chariot. Highly trained, highly disciplined, groomed, prepared. Not going to take a step out of step without that command. And the Lord is preparing a people who he can trust with his authority. I don't know if you've ever witnessed anything like this, but my dad had the Bible school for many years, and he would talk sometimes about leaving someone in charge, and then all of a sudden he saw a whole different side of them than what he knew was there before. They had the keys, and they had some authority, and who is this? This isn't the same little humble person, you know, that... Well, the Lord is preparing a people who aren't going to call down thunder and lightning because they get perturbed, but a people that he can trust with authority, who aren't going to exercise or use that authority except as the Lord bids them to do it. I had an experience some years ago, and it's kind of a funny little experience, but it really happened. We had been sent here to the D.C. area, and it was in the early 90s, and it looked like we were going to get a property and ended up not getting a property, and I ended up in a housing complex. And there were these little tiny ants that just were getting in all my stuff. And it was disturbing my peace. I didn't like those ants. And I thought, I'm trying to kill him, I'm trying to spray him, but those ants are just everywhere. And one day the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I saw those, now ants are nice bugs. But I saw these ants as tormenting spirits. And I rebuked them. And the truth of the matter is, we were there for the remainder of our time with no ants. We had no ants. We just had no ants in our house. So then we moved a year later. We moved to another complex. These were condominiums. And of all things, they had roaches in it there. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I looked at them and I thought, well, I know what to do to you. You know, and I did, and nothing happened. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as anything that before, when I had rebuked those ants, the quickening of the Holy Spirit had come, and the power and the anointing to rebuke them. I didn't just do it, but it was His Spirit in me rebuking them. And that I had just done this out of formula. I know what to do. And I had done it independently. And I tell you, we used the fumigator the year that we lived there. And I understood. I understood what the Lord was telling me. And I didn't try to rebuke him again. I kept saying, oh, Lord, give me that unction. Lord, give me that unction. You know, never came. It's interesting. I had a friend in California who had a tree. And the tree was her neighbor's tree, but it was hanging over in her yard, and it had bees in it. And the neighbor wasn't tending to the bees and wasn't tending to the tree, and she didn't know what to do. And she didn't want to have a bad relationship with her neighbor. And one day the Spirit of God came on her, and she rebuked those bees. Now, we know bees are good, but those bees weren't where they were supposed to be. And sure enough, she didn't have any more bees in that tree. But see, it's not an authority exercised at our will. It's an authority that we have authority because we're under authority. And in that place of submission, there's a tremendous authority that the Lord desires to release to an overcoming people who are walking in right relationship with the blood and with the cross, and who are coming up into the power of His name. The fire of God, the fire of God, understanding repentance, I was saying, oh God, I want this deeper repentance. I want this deeper working in my life. I want to come into this. But I can't repent enough to bring the presence of God that I'm longing for. But yet, as I'm watching and waiting at the post of God's door, there comes a intervention of God that brings the presencing of God, where all of a sudden the repentance that needs to come comes. Why? Because it's that dimension of His presence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a presencing of God where in that presencing, Isaiah, he couldn't have said, woe is me, until those posts move and that revelation and that presence of God came. But why did that happen? Because of the worship that was going on. And I believe that as we're watching and waiting at the post of His doors, and as we're crying out for the intervention of God and believing for the fire of God, yes, there starts to become an awareness of a working of God in areas of our lives. We start to become aware of things that God's dealing with. But yet, I believe it positions us for yet that greater presencing that is yet to be released in the body of Christ, where there's going to come yet a deeper repentance. And in that deeper repentance, a greater oneness. And in that greater oneness, a greater releasing of authority. And I believe it's the very place where God is calling us, to that place of the blood and the cross working in our lives, that we can be brought up into that place of oneness with Him. In that presencing of God, there's not only repentance, there's healing. I'm again remembering John G. Lake taking a microscope and putting germs under that microscope. And when he would bring his hand over near the germs, they would die without him ever touching them. Why? Because there was a presencing of God. There was an anointing and they couldn't survive. But this coming move of God, I believe it's a present move of God. I believe we're starting to get touches of it. I believe we're starting to get waves of it. There's a presencing of God. It's marked by the presence of God, whereas we learn to recognize that presencing and just stay there. And I appreciate that. We're breaking through. We're breaking through. Sometimes we miss our breakthrough because we don't stay there long enough. But as we learn to recognize that presencing of God, we're positioning ourselves. We're watching, we're waiting, we're crying out. Then as the Lord comes, we're recognizing His presencing. And then we're staying there. Allowing His working, allowing His moving. There's not only that cleansing, but there's healing that is coming. And the Lord is raising up a people marked by His presence, carriers of His presence, known by His presence. A people just so in love with Jesus, communing and fellowshipping with Him, just loving Him, just ministering to the Lord, spending time with Him, but they're carrying His presence. And in that presencing, there's a working that is taking place. I can remember when I visited Hattie Hammond one time. I didn't have much time with her. She took me in the presence of God with her. It was like fire. I would say that was probably the first time I experienced the fire of God. But I realized that if I was going to be in that dimension of His presence, that there were certain things that couldn't go there with me. They just either I had to leave or they had to leave, but I could not stay there and have that with me. Simple little things, but no place for them in that dimension where God allowed me to peek into. That place where she lived and where she walked. A people of His presence. You know, there's four parts to our personality. I think of this so often, believe it or not. I learned this when I was in junior college, maybe many years ago. But there's that part of my personality that you see, but I don't see it. They call that blind spots. There's that part of me that I know, but you don't know. I haven't allowed you to get to see that part of me. Then there's that part of me that I know and you know too. I kind of see me the same way you see me. But then there's that part of me that nobody knows but God. And given enough pressure, and when we're crying out for the fire of God, given enough pressure, there's parts of us that we didn't know were there that will start to surface. And as we allow the Lord to, and I've learned when that happens, not to get discouraged, not to feel like I'm backsliding, not to realize that's the goodness of God, because there was something there the whole time, but I didn't know it. And now I do. And I have the opportunity for choice. And His grace is there. His power is there. His strength is there. But But as I'm crying out for the fire of God, as I'm believing for His presence, and you know, I look for our meetings to be marked by His presence, but yet the call is for each one of us singularly to carry His presence. And then when we come together, it's just an explosion, because everything that everyone is carrying is all coming together. But as we're crying out for the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God, and as we're believing for His presence, let's be encouraged. Who the Lord loves, He chastens. He scourges every son He receives. That's the whole message. I know what chastening is. I've done wrong. I deserve to be corrected. If you tell me nicely, I'll probably hear you. But just be nice about it. But scourging, I didn't do anything wrong. It's not fair. I didn't deserve it. And this is happening. Violating my rights. Like somebody takes, you're about to pull in a parking place and somebody zooms in front of you. You go to react. Well, scourging takes care of those reactions. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're reacting. Well, things will come along where the Lord will allow discipline to come to deal with some of our nature, not just our behavior, but our nature. And as we're willing for the Lord to work with us on these levels, you know, I have a friend and something will come up and they'll say, well, you won't lose your salvation. Well, who cares if you won't lose your salvation? That's not what this is all about. What this is all about is coming into the fullness of God. This is about coming into the fullness of who He is. I had someone say to me, well, you're categorizing sin. We'll never be sinless, so just sin. Excuse me. That's not what my Bible tells me. That's not what the Word of God tells me. Any sin that I'm aware of, I'm repenting of. And I'm asking God to change me. Paul said, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, not as though I had already attained or were already made perfect. But if we're seeking the Lord on this level, and this is what I want to say this morning, I've been praying for the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God. And I didn't feel like anything, I didn't see any fire. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me the areas where He was working that I had been unaware of before. And that I wasn't to be discouraged by things He was pointing out in my life, but I was to take heart because now I was seeing them and now He was dealing with them. Does that make any sense? And if we're willing to seek the Lord on that level, I believe the Lord is looking for those to help usher in the coming move of God, who will be like firebrands on fire, carrying the fire of God, carrying the presence of God. See, Finney had that fire. He would go in a city and it would be affected. There was a presencing he carried. It wasn't just the people he was speaking to, it affected the atmosphere. But the Lord is calling us into that place to be carriers of His presence, to be on fire, to carry that burning fire where it's not only working in us, but where there's an impact round about us. I'm just loving Jesus. I'm just being brought in communion and fellowship with Him. I'm just allowing Him to deal with me, my everyday mundane life. He's just dealing with me. But I'm being brought up into the authority of His name. I'm seated with Him. See, to him that overcometh, even as I overcame, while I grant to be seated with me. Brought up into that place of oneness, of unity, Can I say Mr. and Mrs. Lamb coming together, being brought together in the unfolding of God's purpose in the time that we're living in? The Lord is bringing his bride. He's drawing his bride. There's a urgency in the time that we're living in. If ever we needed to have this working of God, I'm not talking about legalistic or legalism. I'm talking about a presencing of God within that's governing and that's changing me and bringing me up into who he is, that his authority might be released in and through my life. And as we come together in that level of anointing and in that calling, it's powerful. There's places marked by the presence of God. There's corporate bodies that the Lord is bringing together. Little groups of people. There's home churches everywhere. Small churches, home churches, where the Lord is bringing people together into a spiritual relationship where there's that challenge to come into all God has. And as they do, they're in a relationship where they're able to function and to move together the way we did this morning as the Lord was stirring our hearts. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, your word says that your glory will be seen on us, that your light will be seen on us. And Isaiah 60 speaks of a turning unto you, and it speaks of you glorifying your house. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your brooding presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us so much. You love us so much. And Father, you hear our heart cries. And on whatever level we would seek you, you would meet us. You love those who love you. Those who seek you find you. So as we're willing to seek you, even with our whole hearts, you're willing to come in greater ways and in new ways than what we've known you in the past. And Lord, you're building upon that which you've already done in our lives as you continue to build and continue to build and continue to build. As you continue to reveal yourself, as you continue to make yourself known, you're transforming a people, you're changing a people who are starting to look like you and sound like you, who are reflecting you. This is our desire, Lord. This is our desire. We just want to love you more. We just want to worship you more. We just want to enter into deeper communion and fellowship with you. We want to know your heart. We want to know your thoughts. We want to spend time with you. We want to spend all day, every day with you, but we want those times apart too. Quality times alone with just you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you help us. Look at our busy schedules, Lord. Look at the different challenges with circumstances and situations and schedules and all that's involved today. And help us, Lord. Draw us like you've never drawn us before. Lift us like you've never lifted us before. Work in us like you've never worked before. We open up our hearts. We open up our innermost beings. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Go deeper and do more. We want all of you. We want all of you. We love you so much. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for each one who is here this morning. I just ask for your blessing, that touch of your presence and that touch of your love. Just bless each one. Bless each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.